Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, beloved ones, and welcome to the Holistic Ministry Show. I'm Minister James Browning, and I'm broadcasting live today from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm so happy and blessed that you're able to join us this Sunday. We're having a very nice, sunny morning here in Phoenix area, low 40s, and that's great for us. We appreciate the weather after all the hot and steamy summer days. The 40s are wonderful for us out here. I just pray each of you have had a safe weekend, that you're keeping yourself well protected, beloved ones. It's really kind of challenging out here with the virus going on, so you have to do all you can do, your part, to stay healthy and stay well. And so for all my old listeners, I truly appreciate you tuning in today, and I'm grateful for you. You keep me motivated and keep me going, so I'm thankful. And for all my new listeners, welcome also. If you decide to stick around for the show, yeah, I'm sure that you will enjoy it. This is not your traditional type of church show. We are a New Age metaphysical ministry. But if you're open and receptive, you can get something out of it. And if you tuned in this morning, that must mean that your spiritual being is ready for you to experience something different and new. So I'm grateful for you that you decided to come in this morning. So, beloved ones, God has given me another year of life, and I'm grateful for that. At 2:30 a.m., 70 years ago, I decided to come onto the planet Earth, and it's through God's love and mercy that I am still here at this point. At this point in my life, it's all about God and humanity. I'm just grateful to be alive, beloved ones. It's a real blessing nowadays to make it another year, and so I've made it 70 of these years, and so I'm grateful and happy and look forward to 70 more. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it anyway. I'm using the power of expectations. As long as I'm healthy and well and able to get around, I want to be here on the planet as long as I can, because I truly want to be able to serve and to help bring a little sunshine on the planet. That's kind of like what I do nowadays. My day is about help spreading a little sunshine, chase away some darkness, you know. And there's a lot of darkness going on the planet right now. So I just want to do my part to make a difference. And so that's it. So all of you who have been listening to the show for a while know that I have a format of how I do this show. And we always start the show with a prayer, because I'm just a vessel, beloved. And I need God's power to help me to be able to deliver, and I want to give gratitude and thanks. So let's do like we usually do every Sunday. Get this show started off. Father, Mother, God, we give gratitude and thanks this day that you have given us another day of life. And we are just open our hearts and minds and our spirits, knowing that you are the source of all there is on the planet. We will continue to commit to divine love and divine wisdom and divine knowledge. We thank you, God, for keeping us safe this week, putting your white light of protection, kept our physical bodies safe, and kept our minds safe, and kept our spirits safe. And so we say thank you. We are just totally grateful for all the divine protection that you give us and allow us to experience. We give special prayer this morning for conditions in the world. We pray for all those frontline workers, all those people who are on the front line taking care of this virus and taking care of people in the hospitals and the nursing homes and the VA homes. We give special blessings for those people, because they are special people that are able to serve and willing to serve. And so we say thank you to all of those beloved ones. And we give thanks and praises for all the sick and shut in, all those people who are going through challenges this morning, that it is all well. God is in charge, and I know its conditions may be challenging now, but keep your mind focused on God, and you will come through this thing, and you will be okay. So just focus on God, and God's in charge, you know, and just surely understand that, you know, and God is with you. God is inside of you, just like the waves in the ocean. You don't have to go outside and look for God. God is right there with you. So we say thank you, God. Thank you. And we ask you, God, to bring us a message this morning that will be inspiring and uplifting to us to be able to go forward and to have a wonderful and positive day. So we are so grateful. We are so grateful. We are so grateful. And so it is. So, beloved one, here we are. Another wonderful Sunday. And we're going to get the show started because we've got a lot of content to cover today. And I pray that we're able to get through all of it. Sometimes I sit down to write, there's not that much coming through. And sometimes it just overwhelms me with all the information the Spirit allows to bring into my consciousness. So let's get today. And today's show is Jesus the Wayshower. And what a most appropriate topic for this time of year as we go into the Christmas celebration and celebrating the birth of Jesus. This is good topic and a good show that we can do. We were going to expand on a little bit about Jesus' life and who he really was in this topic. If Jesus was still alive today, he would be approximately 2,018 years old. Can you just imagine? It's been 2,018 years ago that Jesus showed up on the planet, okay? And that was what a wonderful thing happened at that particular time. I can say that maybe Jesus is not here in his physical body, but Lord knows his presence is still being felt. What an impact that he has made on the world as a whole to have come here 2,000 years ago, and people are still feeling, still talking about it, still having, you know, conversations, still in tune into the power of Jesus, knowing that he must have done something very, very special to have people still think about him at this point. So his, like I say, his physical body is here, not here, but his spirit is very powerful. His spirit is very with us today, and we are just grateful for that. So we know that he was a very enlightened being because of the impression he left us with on the world. So that comes from the fact that he was so enlightening and brought so much light to the planet that we're still talking about beloved Jesus today. Jesus came into this earth realm, beloved ones. You need to understand this. Jesus came to this earth realm as an avatar, okay? And that is one who is a divine incarnation. He had a divine incarnation. He came here as Messiah, and he came here as a world teacher. So he came here special, beloved one. Jesus chose to come here in a human body. He decided to take on a human body to come through this incarnation. Being a divine being that he was, he could have showed up in any form that he wanted to show up. You know, he didn't have to come here and take a human body and a human life. He could have showed up just in the planet wherever he wanted to show up at any time he wanted to show up in order to fulfill his purpose. But he decided to choose a human body. And there's a reason why he decided to do that. So he was truly a spiritual being and having a human experience, just like you and I do every day. Jesus wanted to have that same experience that you and I have every day. We are truly spiritual beings having a human experience. So just like Jesus, we all go through that same process. I don't have time to really to share with you the complete story of Jesus. There's a lot of history here and a lot of research to do. But, you know, you can kind of do some research for yourself. But I'm going to get into a little of Jesus' history and his journey while he was here on planet Earth. It's important that we know this. It's very appropriate time to do this, like I said, because of the Christmas holiday. So we want to be able to share this. Since most of Christians have chosen to celebrate Jesus' birth today, and this is worldwide, Christianity is a worldwide religion, so a lot of people are followers of Jesus, although a lot of people that listen to this show are Muslim, Buddhists, Hindus. We have listeners all over the world. We're broadcasting live in almost 15 countries as well as America, so everyone is not a Christian. But even the people who are not Christians still have a respect for beloved Jesus, which is amazing. even though they are not followers of his, they have respect for him. Okay, now, for many of my metaphysical friends and New Age friends, they know for a fact that Jesus was not actually born on December the 25th. Okay, but that is what is being celebrated. It was approximately late April, early May, that this he actually came onto the planet. Okay, you got that? April and May, not December 25th, but this is what we have chose to celebrate, and this is what we have, the date that we have chose to take it on. So Emperor Constantine, who was the authority in that day, decided to make a celebration of Jesus and Saint Nick back in 2025 AD. So you got to understand, beloved, Saint Nick also was a very powerful healer himself. So he healed a lot and went around and did a lot of healing. So that was who Saint Nick was. So you kind of get some understanding of how this whole process came through. Knowing he was known as one who gave a lot. He was a giver. He not only he gave himself, but he gave gifts and things of that nature. So he was, and that's how at the point the word the being Santa Claus was actually Saint Nick's, and that's how it is, and it came into the giving aspect of things. And he was a very generous person, and he gave a lot. And that's what, and so I don't quite know why it is that Emperor Constantine decided to join both birthdays together, because Saint Nick started off more as a pagan holiday. But, you know, hey, due to the fact that Saint Nick was a spiritual being himself, maybe that was the reason why the Jewish people were wanting, those who were followers of Jesus wanted a celebration. So I guess he, in a way, the Constantine was giving them what they want. So he just said, hey, look, I'm just going to lump it all together and you guys just take it as it comes. So that's what was happening. And that's okay. That's good. Understand that Saint Nick also did some wonderful things and some healing. Unfortunately, the Bible share just a little period of Jesus' life. I mean, it is so minute. I guess they kind of talk about the highlights of when he was born and when he passed, and they give that information. But there's so much more to Jesus than was that the Bible shared with you. And beloved ones, if you really want to know and have a really understanding about Jesus, you have to be willing to do a little research and go into have some understanding. You have to spend some time dealing and understanding about who Jesus was. See, Jesus spent most of his life traveling with his family, especially his grandmother, Saint Anna. Oh my God, Saint Anna, what a unique and special being she was. That she lived to be over 650 years old, but she was a very influence of Jesus. So, like I said, even to be able to explain Saint Anna's life would take more time than I have to be able to do that. I would love to be able to explain it more, but you can. I'm gonna give you some information how to find out more information about her. So, but Saint Anna, Jesus' grandmother, probably had the most influence on his life. And she traveled with him all over the world, and she was able to give him information and give him influence. Now, if you want to know a little bit more about Saint Anna, and it is worth going to look at it, you can, and you don't have to, you can really just go back to one of my archive shows that I did that was really talks a lot about Saint Anna and Jesus. It was called, the show was called "Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?" Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? So you can just scroll through the archive shows and you can go back and listen to them. And so you can really get a full understanding of who Saint Anna was and how she influenced Jesus and how she was able to teach him the things that he knew. See, along with Jesus' grandmother, Anna, his father, Joseph, was the second person who had the most influence and on his life. And help him in his spiritual training. See, they traveled to India, to the Himalayas, and to Africa, and they spent a lot of time at the, it was called the Wisdom and Knowledge Schools at that particular time. I would think that some of us out here may have even been there at those particular times, because as you know, this ain't your first time being here on planet Earth, and many of us have traveled and been to Earth and time. I have a friend of mine, I know for a fact that we actually studied together and worked together in Egypt in one of the temples doing some healing work. And it's amazing. We I've contacted her in this lifetime, and it's pretty unique, and she's a special person, and grateful and thankful for her. So people do come back into your life and that you have had incarnations with before. And thank God that that happened. But anyway, beloved Jesus went to India and the Himalayas and Africa, and he studied a lot, and that was school for him. That's where he went. I mean, he spent years and months traveling and learning with Grandma Anna and with Joseph, with his father. He spent many of these years in the temples and ashrams in India. And that is in where he really grabbed a lot of his abilities to be able to perform the special gifts that he had. He was trained how to do the healings that he was able to do, and trained how to do the miracles he was able to do. And at some point, Jesus not only was learning, but Jesus was teaching. You can go up into the temple today in Nepal, India, and you can see information about Jesus himself. There's temples there where he actually taught in. And so, and it's still records of that, beloved one. So this is true. So, and one of the most important things that Jesus learned and when he was in Egypt was to be able to leave his body and return to his physical body at will. He was able to lay down his physical body and allow his soul to project out of his physical body and go into another spiritual realm to do whatever he wanted to do and to come back and pick his body up. Now, that is not that far off, because there are many yogis still today who have that capability to be able to do that, to leave their physical bodies and go and come back at will. You know, as long as your physical body is being protected, that is okay to do. I mean, if you don't know what you're doing, though, I would not suggest that you do that, because there is a civil cord that is attached from your physical body to your spirit. And when you leave your physical body, you have to make sure that cord is still intact, okay, attached to you, okay? If you break the civil cord, then you are going to not come back to your physical body, okay? So there's nothing to play with. It's a very serious thing. And Jesus spent some of his most profound time at Sai Baba's ashram. And if you don't know about Sai Baba, you need to go look at Sai Baba, who was one of the most wise and intelligent yogis of his time, located in India. There's still temples. Sai Baba still have temples, the teaching about his teaching. And this is where his father, Joseph, decided to make his transition. His father traveled with him all the time, and his father was ready to go back to the other side and do his work or whatever he had to do on the other side. So he actually made his transition at Sai Baba's ashram. So, and this was one of the most highest spiritual places to be. And as the story was told, this event that happened was very enlightening event, that when Joseph left, how the whole spirit and how everything just was dynamic in this whole process. And he left with his physical body. He just left. He left the planet and made his transition. Quite an amazing story. And that's pretty phenomenal. So you can see now Jesus did a lot of traveling, a lot of learning. And he spent, I would say, probably 21 to 22 years of his time traveling to different parts of the world, including he made it to China. and to different places. So he was very profound. And he, everywhere he went, it was about studying and learning to become more attuned to himself and attuned to nature, okay, and attuned to the wisdom of his life. And once Jesus finished all those necessary training, then he prepared himself for his ministry, and he's also prepared for the resurrection. So like I told you earlier, when Jesus was in Egypt, he learned how to leave his body and how to come back. That was all in preparation of him preparing himself to do the resurrection, beloved one. That's what that was all about. And see, Jesus, when he decided to come back, Jesus traveled with his family to come. When he came back to Jerusalem, he brought his whole family. His brothers were with him, and they all kind of traveled together at this particular time. And also, Jesus traveled with his wife. Oh, surprise, huh? Yeah. Some of you are a little shocked about that, but Mary Magdalene was Jesus' wife, and guess what? They had children. They had children. We know they had at least two. Some say it was three, okay? And so, yes, what I just told you is true. It's correct. Jesus was married with children, okay? And by the way, beloved one, a lot of you may not be aware, Jesus' real name, he didn't come here being named Jesus. Jesus' real name was Yahshua ben Joseph. Let me just ask to you again. Yahshua ben Joseph is Jesus' real name. That's who is really who he was called, and the all his family and all of his everyone addressed him as was Yahshua ben Joseph. Like Joshua, but they call it Yahshua. Joshua, you could pronounce it as Joshua also. And that's what he was called. And his name, Jesus Christ, didn't happen until way after. Matter of fact, it didn't even happen after his death. But he was known as Joshua while he was there in Jerusalem and traveling through the world. You see, now Joshua followed a religion called the Essene religion, which was a break off from the Jewish religion. See, their teaching that that Jesus grew up in would be more aligned with today with metaphysical and New Age teachings. A matter of fact, the Essene religion is still in existence, and there are still some Essenes, still some people practicing the Essene religion. So it didn't die. It's just that, you know, you don't hear that much about it, but it is still around. And they were into the metaphysical and energy way before we heard about it here in our day and time. And it was part of their process. You see, when Jesus came back into Jerusalem, the Roman government had become more brutal. They were always pretty brutal to the Jewish people, but they had become more brutal. And their matter of fact, it was so brutal that it was actually very dangerous to even be there in Jerusalem, especially if you didn't conform to the Roman system of doing things. Then you were being an outcast, and it was a dangerous place for you. And now the system was actually, now, there were Roman soldiers there, and Roman had its influence, but the system actually was being run by the Jewish religious leaders who enforced the Roman law. These were the church leaders of the Jewish faith who were enforcers of the law at that time. They are the ones, they were like the overseers. They made it do, and one of their duties was to collect money, collect taxes from the Jewish people and the government. It was their job to collect the taxes. That's what the Jewish church leaders were doing. They set up places in the synagogues where they would collect taxes. And unfortunately, a lot of the Jewish leaders who were doing that, they became very corrupt. And they were abusing the people that they were actually collecting taxes from, the same Jewish people. They became corrupt as well in the whole process of doing their tax collection. So when Jesus came back, he got involved in the community, and he got involved in what was happening. He saw the injustice, what was happening, and he got himself totally involved of it. And from him being involved in community activities, he saw the corruption that was all around. And it was quite amazing that Jesus was able to see this and know this was happening. And at some point, Jesus actually came very militant. And he stood up to the Jewish leaders and the Roman government. You understand, beloved ones? See, Jesus got to the point where he just was tired of it, and he was not wanting to deal with it anymore. So he took a stand. And he, like I said, he was militant in his stand. And just like some of the leaders of doing our history, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, spiritual leaders and spiritual people shouldn't be involved in politics, or shouldn't allow themselves to become caught up in politics. But beloved ones, when you are spiritual and you are aware, you are conscious, and you see things, then you know that's going on. Your inside, your spirit man tells you this is not right, and you have to stand up for that. If you are, well, that's why you find so many spiritual conscious people who are actually ones on the front line fighting for justice to be right. There was a Martin Luther King. Martin was a minister, as most of you know, but he became very militant too, in a sense, and he stood up for the right. Malcolm X, also a minister, stood up for rights, and although he was a spiritual person. Gandhi, who was a spiritual leader, but Gandhi stood up for his people too, in a sense. So spiritual people who are spiritual and conscious well will see the injustice, and they have no choice but to stand up and fight the system, or fight back to try to bring about justice, because it's all tied up together, beloved one. So Jesus too became that. Some folks also say Jesus was a revolutionary, and that was very true too. Jesus was very revolutionary. One of the things that upset Jesus more than anything else was the thievery that was going on in the synagogue with the tax collectors. And I mean that he was so upset about that, and he became so annoyed by that, that Jesus decided to go into the temples and actually beat them with a whip and get them out of the temple to go there and do what they were doing, taking advantage of people, especially the church folks who came there and was part of that. He knew that these leaders were manipulating and using people, and Jesus just was not going to tolerate it no more. He went in and he turned over the tables, and he didn't just tell them to get out. Jesus whipped them with a whip, beloved ones, okay? So these stories you heard have been depicted about Jesus being so whippy and passionate to the standpoint that he wouldn't stand up for right. No, Jesus didn't believe in turning the other cheek when he saw injustice going on. He whipped them with a whip. And it's true, beloved one, that Jesus was very loving and very kind to the people in the community. But if you were corrupt and abusive, you could look for a beatdown. Jesus was not playing. He did not tolerate foolishness. He would not allow it and would not accept it. Joshua didn't play. He was, of course, like I said, he was full of love and compassionate. And at the same time that was happening, Jesus went along to fulfill his mission of what he was to do. He was ministering. He was ministering. He would support the poor people. The poor. Jesus was really fond of the poor. And he fed the hungry. And he removed mental and spiritual possessions. And he healed the sick. And he even raised the so-called dead. So you see, beloved ones, Jesus was doing his mission. He knew what he needed to do, but he wasn't tolerating no foolishness. But he was truly a compassionate and wonderful spiritual being, doing all that he could do to help humanity in a whole, okay, and fighting corruption at the same time. And like I said, we've seen that in our own leaders here who have done that. Who was more compassionate than Martin Luther King to actually be able to stand up and do what he did? Martin still ministered and did his work, although he fought tooth and nail for justice of African American. This is not strange for the people to do that, be that way. And Jesus, being even as lightning being as he was, he knew to stand up. Now see, but when Jesus stood up for the people, the Roman government and the Jewish religious leaders were not happy, beloved ones. They were not happy at all. And so they wanted to get rid of Jesus. The Jewish leaders went to the emperor and said that Jesus was doing this and doing that and causing problems. The Roman government already was upset with Jesus because he was causing them to a problem with them getting their money. And you know how people can be about their money. So he was disrupting that whole process. So they was upset with him from that. But they didn't move on him for that because they didn't want to so much upset the Jewish people that they were controlling. So they invoked the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders went to Rome and talked about all the stuff that Jesus was doing, which was righteous things that Jesus was doing, righteous stuff he was doing. And they were saying that it was a crime. It was against God. They sinned against God. And by him simply saying he was a son of God, they said that was a crime. And a lot of other things that they predict and said that Jesus were doing, which was stuff that was totally righteous, that he had no right to be able to heal and do all the things that he was doing. But and they made a law, beloved one. They went to Rome and swore that he was being a criminal when he was doing 100% of everything that was right. Can you imagine that you are doing righteousness and you're being rightful, and someone goes and says that you are corrupt and that you are doing something? But Jesus understood what was going on. So by them going to the emperor in Rome, they decided that it was time for Jesus to go. They had decided it was time to give, but they really didn't understand that they were part of a divine plan. But in their own thinking, they are the ones who decided to have him crucified and had him to have him removed at this time. But you see, beloved one, beloved Jesus had a purpose that was much bigger than the law, the man's law. But they didn't understand that. Because at any particular time that Jesus wanted to, they could not harm a hair on his head if he did not want it to be. Jesus had the ability to teleport and to be able to just leave if he wanted to. And not only that, he had support of the people around him. He could have had them to stand up and to put a battle up, but he did not do that. Like I said, Jesus had the ability to teleport and to vanish and to go whenever he wanted. So even if the soldiers came from him, he could just simply do what he do and be gone. They would have never found him and never been able to catch up with him. But he understood that his purpose was bigger than that which they were confronting him with. See, beloved one. So that is one thing Jesus said. When even the soldiers who were carrying out the crucifixion of Jesus was actually part of Jesus' purpose. And they had no idea that they were participating in such an event. Because, believe me, if these soldiers really knew who Jesus were and had a full understanding of who were, they would have not allowed themselves to be used in that matter. But they were not even conscious of who Jesus were, and that was for a divine reason, so they could fulfill Jesus' purpose of being and doing what he needed to do. So in this aspect of things, Jesus knew that, and that's why Jesus said, even while he was there on the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he was speaking about the soldiers who just inflicted all this discomfort on him. Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what to do." Jesus was saying that for God to forgive them because they were not, and once they become conscious of what they did, they would have a lot of remorse because what they did, because Jesus was righteous. And when you do things to righteous people, you're going to have some consequences, and maybe not so much in your physical world, but in your spirit world, something is going to touch out to you and let you know that you have just did something wrong. But Jesus was so compassionate and so wonderful that he did not want those soldiers to carry any burden. So in this aspect, Jesus was demonstrating the power of forgiveness also, you know, because if you think about all the things that happened to you as an individual, and here is someone who just stuck a spear in your side, and there must have been some pain to it, and he was bleeding, Jesus said, forgive them. But yeah, you know what? We hold on to things and for our friends and family over silly stuff and over things that make no difference. You know, you'd be surprised how many family members don't even speak to each other over some simple stuff they won't even be willing to forgive each other for, you know, small things. So Jesus was teaching forgiveness in that particular case when he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that was pretty significant, beloved ones. And Jesus played a big role. And see, when in the end of the process, when Jesus was crucified, and his family and his wife, and they came and got him and took him, because they was not even conscious of what was happening with Jesus' prayer, but they didn't even understand that. Grandma Anna understood what the deal was. She knew what was going to happen and what the transformation was going to take place. So even after they took him down and put him in a grave, 3 days later, Jesus shows back up again. Here I am, I'm here. And to the amaze of many people, they were totally, their minds was blown, and they were just totally blown away. But Jesus shows back up in his same body. Matter of fact, there were still wound holes in his body because he wanted people to recognize truly who he was and why he was and why he wanted to come back to that physical body, because that was the reasoning for that, beloved one, that he wanted to use that same physical body to come back to so he could demonstrate that the crucifixion, that he was who he was, and that the crucifixion itself was just a thing that he was going through for demonstration. Okay, beloved one, there, see, there is a real purpose for the crucifixion. And there has been so many things that people have said about the crucifixion, about what it is and what it's not to be. And for some of you, this which I'm going to share with you this morning may be a little hard for you to take. But, hey, you know what? Sometimes the truth is hard for the take, and that's okay. It is what it is. It's a big myth about the crucifixion, especially when it comes down to belief of the Christian church. You see, in the Christian church, there are many who believe that Jesus died on the cross to absorb your sins, to absorb the sins of mankind. Beloved one, that is so far from the truth. You, beloved one, are totally held responsible for your own errors or sins, whatever you may call it. Jesus did not come here to die on a cross for your mistakes and the things that you did. You have to be responsible for that. And that's what you, in your incarnations, you work out your responsibility and the things that you have created. That's why you incarnate, because you are working on things and you are improving yourself. So Jesus did not suffer on a cross to make your errors and sins go away, beloved ones. Okay, and like I said, I know for some of you that may be a little challenging, but that is the truth. He did not go down the cross just for that, or a so-called death. Matter of fact, Jesus never died, because there's no such thing as death from a spiritual standpoint anyway. Yes, he laid his physical body down, and he claimed it again at will. You see, Jesus, and this was all about what Jesus had learned in the temples. Remember I told you earlier, he was preparing for the crucifixion when he went to the temple in Egypt. And Jesus volunteered to participate in the crucifixion. It was nothing that he was commanded to do, but he came here to do this. And so, you know, spirit, the creator who created this planet, forced nothing on any of his spiritual beings, whatever he needed to do. But Jesus came here with a high purpose, and he chose to come to this in this incarnation so he can do that and be that, so he could demonstrate it. that was happening. And the reason that Jesus came back in his physical body, because Jesus wanted to demonstrate that the so-called death was just an illusion. Beloved ones, the thing that people call death is just an illusion. There is no such thing as a thing called you die, and that's the end of it. That is hogwash, like I said. That is just in something that people have came up with and said that it happens. No, your spiritual being inside of your physical body stays forever. You have had this spiritual I am present inside of you ever since you were created by your creator, and it comes with you all the time. So, yes, you shed that physical body. It sheds. That's not even, it's just that the body itself goes back to nature, goes back to the dust or whatever it is that it was created out of. But your spirit inside of you never resolve, never go away. You will always carry the same spirit, and your whole objective is to work your way back to your Godhead. Okay, that same spirit through each incarnation, the same spirit. It may take on a different physical body. You may come here as a male in one life incarnation. You may come a female. You may come here as a Caucasian in one life. You may come here as an African person in one life. You may be a Chinese person. You may be an Indian person. All depends on what your spirit needs to grow is what you decide to come back in. And you know what, beloved one? If people truly understood that, prejudice would go out of the window. If that was taught in a true understanding that people would come here in different body forms for their spiritual experiences, then how could someone be upset with anyone else just because of the color of their skin? That would be ignorant. To be upset with someone because the next time you come here, you more likely will come here in that body of the person that you dislike, and it's a strong possibility it could happen because you are have that something you have to come and work out, and to be able to experience that, you have to come and experience that the person that you dislike is having. That is part of the evolution of your spirit. It is said, beloved one, that the American Indians of today. Actually the same, a lot of the soldiers who forced them on the reservation and mistreated them are the same people who had to come back and live on the reservation today because of what they've done to the Indians back in the 1800s. A lot of those souls now, people who live on the reservation, actually are soldiers who were doing and mistreating these people as they came back. Okay, so... got a little off track, but anyway, I needed to share that with you. So, in the aspect of understanding that, Jesus wanted to just demonstrate to you thing called death was just an illusion, beloved ones. So, don't buy into that anymore, that you're going to die and that your body is going, you are going to go to some awful place that they call hell or wherever you want to be. That's another illusion. That's something for a whole nother topic of another day. That's another thing that gets people all kind of twisted and have no reality with it at all. Okay? But, loved ones, you are pure spirit. And your energy lives in this temporary housing. This body that you are having is actually a temporary house for your spirit. You will not take this body into your next incarnation. Okay? You may come back looking a lot, or you may come back as a female in your next life as well as the life you're in. You may come back as an African American female or a Caucasian female. You may come back in the same life that you left out of, but your body, your actual physical body, with the DNA structure of your body will not be the same. You may have the same characteristics, but it will not be the same, beloved one. So your spirit will always be there for you. And that's what Jesus wanted to demonstrate people was that it's this thing called death, so-called death is just an illusion, and your spirit lives forever. What a mighty purpose to come back and to demonstrate. Because you know what? People's greatest fear is dealing with what is called the so-called death thing. People are petrified about it, and when it's actually just a transformation, and you taking you to a higher state of awareness. And a lot of people have a problem with living. because they're so concerned about dying. They're so fearful of death that they have a hard time living their life as it is, beloved one. So get beyond that, beloved one. Get beyond that and you have a full understanding that this year, when you're celebrating Christmas, although it's not the real deal of birth, but it's okay. We got to celebrate it at some time. So, hey, it's okay. It doesn't make any difference, really, when it comes down to it, but the timing, because you're celebrating the spiritual being itself and who and whom he was. And that's the most important part. It's not so much a date, but you're giving celebration to that spirit, that entity that came and made the great changes on planet Earth. Now, I don't think that there's been a lot of enlightened beings that have come to this planet, beloved one, but I don't know. Personally, again, you only know what you know, but there haven't been that many or other beings that have made such an impact on life. Now, there were other people. There was, of course, Sai Baba was very powerful. Very, very powerful, and his influence is still being projected today. And there were other ones who were here too that have been very powerful, and people follow it. I'm not familiar with some of the Hindu gods, but I know that there are some that are around. Some of them that have been around, and some of them have did some same miracle feat. And Jesus was not the only being that came here to this planet as an avatar, a one who came through immaculate conception. There have been other beings that have come here too and doing that, this planet on Earth. You got to realize, beloved one, man's been on this planet for hundreds and thousands of years. And so Jesus came 2,000 years ago. So there's a whole lot of history that we don't know about avatars coming to planet Earth and spiritual enlightened ones coming here to fulfill their purpose. I'm sure there were ones who came to do teaching even back in those days. They came and taught different principles and different spiritual things. God always sends someone into the Earth realm to be able to teach and to help to bring the spirits who live on this planet, who are chosen to live on this planet, to a higher state. And, and as I often tell you, that planet Earth is not the only planet where people, where souls incarnate and souls go to. This is just one of the places. And matter of fact, planet Earth may be one of the most dense places where you come as a student. Your purpose, when you come here on planet Earth, beloved one, you are coming to go to school. Planet Earth is about a school. So every experience that you are having here is a lesson well learned, a lesson that you needed as a soul. So don't be hung up on things that happen, because and every lesson you have is not necessarily a lesson that is very pleasurable to you or bring you comfort all the time. But every experience that you have is experience that is needed for you to grow as a spirit and as a soul. So it's okay. Just because it's not pleasant at the moment, you are still learning from it. So learn from the things that are conversational to you, things that are not pleasant for you, because sometimes you learn your most lessons when things are not so pleasant. So learn to learn from all experiences, beloved one, because that's why you're here. That's why you're here, to be able to learn. Jesus just came to let you know that, okay, you're learning, but when you learn and you leave here, it's okay. Don't freak out just because you decide to leave the planet and you think it's going to be dark and your life is and you're going to not exist. Jesus wanted you to know that existence go on and that there is no sting in this so-called thing called death, which I tell you is just a word itself, because it's just a transformation. You just leave this old physical body and you keep going astral realm or wherever you go as a spirit until you decide to come back again, okay? So embrace that, beloved one. See, the God and the goddess who created you, beloved one, they knew the journey that you was going to take. And so the same energy and the same spirit that lived in Jesus live in you today. You carry that same DNA inside of your spiritual being. Because see, the creators who created you and me, they also created Jesus. So you have that same gift inside of you. You may not elevate to that level, but you carry the same DNA structure that Jesus carried in him. So you too, beloved ones, are gifted and talented and special. Each one of you are talented. Let no one tell you that you are not special, because you are, because you have all the necessity for greatness inside of you. Whether you live up to that greatness inside of you is your choice. God gave you free will, so you can do as you wish to do with your life. But you have that structure inside of you to be able to perform and live your life at a higher level. Each one of us have been given a gift that only we have been given, can use that gift to raise our consciousness and raise our vibration, and we can make a difference, beloved one. Not only did you come here to work on your own individual situation that was going on, but you came here to help humanity raise its consciousness as well, especially all of you light workers. And there's many of you out there who listen to this show every Sunday, and I know you're out there, and you have an obligation and a duty to let your light shine, beloved one. That's why you came here. That is your purpose, to be able to bring light. You need to do something in some kind of way to help uplift humanity. You can do somewhat, write a book, sing a song, play some music, do something that's helpful to be able to bring and touch the masses of people, because each one of you have that gift inside of you. All of you may not be ministry or want to do what I do, but you have a gift inside of you. Allow your gift to come out. Make that one of your New Year's resolutions, that you're going to bring forth your spiritual gift and you're going to make a difference on the planet, because you have the ability to do that, beloved ones. You have that ability. So live up to that and move forward, knowing that you have the same DNA spiritually in your body as Jesus had it in his. So everything that, in actuality, the things that Jesus did, you and I can do it ourselves. And once we come to the fact and having faith and belief that we are gods and goddesses, that we are. We have, for some reason, we lost that ability to believe and have that kind of faith. But we do have it inside of our DNA structure, whether it comes out in this lifetime or we have to come back here several more lifetimes, but you have that ability to do and be the same as Jesus. So let's dive deep into our being, into our subconscious thinking, and into our spirit, and bring forth those gifts that God has given us to bring forth to make a difference, beloved ones. You really can make a difference, and don't go along with the crowd just to get along. Be different. Be separate. You don't have to follow the collective masses of people and what they're doing, because half of the masses of people are going off in a different direction anyway. So don't allow yourself to be in there. You be that unique being that God has made you to be and wants you to be. God wants you to be unique. God wants you to live life and live life abundantly. He wants you to have good health. He wants you to have good relationships. He wants you to be in a good place and a good space in your life and bring forth, because that's how you are able to demonstrate the power of God. When you are able to be healthy, be conscious, be aware, others can see those things in you as well, and that helps them also. So it's your duty to do what you need to do to help uplift yourself and to live in that higher state of consciousness. So, beloved ones, I am so grateful that each one of you have come here today and taken part of this program. You were led here today by Spirit. Yes, I did too. Email, and I do all my part to try to contact people, bring. But it's you, your individual spirit, that made you tune in. I can only suggest to you that you do it, and that you do it. And I'm grateful. I see some of the people on the air. I can see some of you, your phone numbers, and your different things, and I know who's on the air, especially on the from the call-in. And I'm so grateful to see so many of you here that have been around a long time. Some of you have been around a long time with me and doing this show and doing this kind of work. So I'm grateful for you. I love you, and I ask you to continuously to support the show and continuously give your energy toward the show and to help us to be able to raise the consciousness. I don't know about you, but I'm in for the long haul. I am in for the long haul. I only want to do God's work at this point in the rest of my life. This is what I'm going to do and what I'm going to be about. So anyway, in closing, we're going to close with a prayer, as we always do, because we're grateful and thankful. And hopefully, beloved ones, you got something out of today's show and that you can utilize for your life. So tuning in. So, beloved, mighty I Am presence, I give thanks and gratitude for another wonderful day. Thank you, God, for coming through today. Thank you for allowing your voice to be heard, allowing your message to be heard. I thank you, God, for using me as a vessel in order to bring forth this energy. And I ask you, God, to continue to give me strength to be able to move forth and to do the things that I need to do to bring about. I pray, God, for each one of these beloved listeners today, that you touch them in a way and allow them to bring forth their gifts and talents to the world that is there. They are all, they're light workers, many of them. And so I'm asking you, God, to touch them in a way that they have never been touched before. Touch their spirits, touch their heart, touch their mind, and help them to raise above their situation or whatever's going on in their lives, that they can demonstrate the power that is within them, that they are connected to you just like a wave is connected to the ocean. You are inside of them, and that you are there with them. You always have been, always will be. You will never desert or forget about them or leave them, and that they are not detached from you because you are within their own physical being. So we thank you, God, for allowing us to have full understanding, allowing us to have wisdom and consciousness to be able to move forward and to be able to do what we need to do. And as we go through this holiday, through this week, that we will put Jesus as the real reason for the season, and that we will demonstrate that love and compassion that Jesus had, and that we will always stand up for the truth, knowing that the truth will truly set you free, and that we will be. So we pray this day, as we did earlier today, that we pray for all those who are sick, shut in, and all those who are being affected or being afflicted by anything that is not part of their human consciousness, that they will come to understand and awareness that God is the source, and that they should focus on God and put them through. So all those who are going through challenges, I pray to you today that you will open your heart and your mind and focus exclusively on the I Am presence within you, and call upon your higher being to come and help in your healing process. And whether it be physically, mentally, or spiritually, you have spiritual guides and spiritual help. There are ascended masters and ascended hosts and divine ones who will come to your rescue and come to your aid and help you in your growth and your process and your healing and everything that's going on in your physical body. Tap in. Thank you, God, for allowing us to have understanding. Thank you, God, for putting a support field in our region that we can call upon. We thank you, God, for the divine protection that our physical bodies are there. We thank you for the auras that surround our body. We thank you for the ability to bring about the impenetrable white light to protect our physical bodies, that nothing can penetrate or nothing can come through. We know that it is all as well and ever done. So allow us to utilize our powers, God, to bring about change in our lives and change in the lives of those people around us. Wake us up, shake us up, until we do that which is right and that which is divine in its purpose and reason. So we say thank you, God, and as we go on this holiday, we will focus on the workings and the teachings of beloved Jesus, knowing that we too have that power and those gifts inside of us, and that we are part of that same God force and that same energy that is inside of was inside of Jesus is so inside of us. So we say thank you, God. Thank you. We are so grateful. We are so grateful. And so it is. Amen. Thank you, beloved one. I love each one of you, and have a wonderful and blessed day. Okay? So glad to see so many of you online, and especially some of my very special friends who have joined in today. Some of you I haven't seen you online in a while, but I am so grateful for you, especially my friend in Northern Arizona. Thank you, beloved one. You're always in my prayer and always in my heart. And so it is. Amen.